Well, it doesn't often happen, but this morning I was very much moved by Sunday school. We watched a video from the Triangle Conference. The speaker was Reggie McNeil, which I don't think will probably mean anything to any of you. I didn't see this particular session when I was there because I wasn't feeling well that night, and so this is the first time that I had to hear this session. And I have to admit, I was very much challenged by what he had to say to us. And I felt like he was preaching actually to me, or speaking to me. And I want to give all of you an opportunity to see that particular video. So we're going to be playing it in one of our morning services. And instead of hearing me preach, you'll get to hear Reggie McNeil as he spoke to us at the Triennial. And I think you'll agree with everyone who was in class this morning that you'll be moved by what this man has to say. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, I just want to tell you what he said. Let's throw the sermon away. That's not a good thing to do. But just want to let you know that you're going to be seeing something that is going to challenge your socks off coming up. So this morning, I was thinking, it's the first Sunday of the new year. And congratulations, you all have perfect attendance in 2016. So let's see if you can keep it for a while. What do you say? This is, Dean had such a great sermon last week, and gosh, the guy was sick and coughing up crud and had pneumonia and all that kind of stuff, and still delivered. But I'm thinking, first Sunday, we got to start out with a bang. We got to start out with something that's just, it's just going to wow people. So I worked on this sermon, and I thought, this is a great challenge for us. And then this morning, just as Sunday school class started, already, there was a challenge. And the challenge is, we didn't have enough communion cups. And that's just kind of like, and so it's like, could we do communion next week? Communion service is in my sermon. So, No, we can't. And so we're going to be doing things different this morning. It's gonna look different. You're gonna have to get up and move. That is hard for some of you, and I do understand that. And so when it comes to our communion time, we do have a couple deacons are gonna come, and they're gonna bring a tray and a cup, the bread and the cup to you if you are unable to stand and get down front. Just remain seated, and they will serve you. And for the balcony, we had enough cups for you guys. Hopefully there's a deacon up there. Okay, yes, the designated deacon for the balcony. I didn't want that to throw you as we go through the service today, because it is going to be a little different. But then after our Sunday school class, I realized we need to do things a little bit different. And we need to rethink some of the things that we're doing. But a passage of scripture that I thought just would be so fitting for the beginning of a new year is Romans 12, 1 and 2. And some things never change. I forgot my glasses. So there's more light down here than there is up there. So I probably will be able to be okay with that. But I thought Paul in this passage of scripture challenges us. And I think this is a great challenge for our new year. I brought my cheaters. So thank you, though. Yeah, I just don't want to put them on. It makes me look old when they hang down on my nose like that. I'm not vain. Not at all. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and we're going to see what that has to say to us this morning. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there, and let me go ahead and read that for you. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Let's pray. Father, as we move into a new year, we need to change. We need to do things differently, here as a church and in our own lives. Father, we need to grow in you. Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, speak to us. Lord, challenge our hearts, each one of us. Father, each one of us has a different area in which we need to grow. Through your Holy Spirit, challenge each one of us in that area, that we might grow in you, Lord. Father, speak to us. Reveal to us your words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, as we oftentimes do in a New Year's service, we're going to look at the past, we're going to look at the present, and we're going to look to the future. And this passage of Scripture speaks to all of those areas. And as we look at this, I one of the things that Warren Wiersbe brought up in his commentary as I was looking at this is he goes, notice that Paul does not make this a command. This is not a command. Paul doesn't say, "Therefore, I command you, brethren." Doesn't say that. Paul is coming here out of a total sense of love for the believers. So he says, "Therefore, I urge you," or "I beg you," or "It is my heart's desire for you that you do this." So Paul is speaking from his heart here. And he's not making it a command. He's making it a plea. Folks, do this. Come along. See what I've seen. Experience what I've experienced. Know God the way that I know God. And it's a really heartfelt passage of Scripture here as he's talking to the believers. Now, there's some who say, well, he's just talking to the Jews. No, by this time in the book of Romans, he has made his argument that Jews and Greeks are all alike. And so he is talking to the brethren. He's talking to the believers in Jesus Christ. That's who he's got going here. And as he starts with calling us to look back at the past. Because what's the first word, at least in my translation, but what's the first word in there? Come on, you answered Dean when he said, what's the word?
Therefore.
Thank you. I don't know how Reggie McNeil felt when they wouldn't laugh at his jokes. And therefore. Now, when you see that word therefore, you have to stop. You can't just go, okay, therefore, then da-da-da-da-da. Therefore means you have to know what happened before. You have to know the first part of the first 11 verses of Romans. You need to know what he's talking about in there. Now, I don't have enough time to go over the first 11 books of Romans. It took Dean, 36 weeks to go through Romans. So I don't have time to do that. But here is what the book of Romans says in a nutshell. It says, well, and I'm going to go to Romans 5, 6 through 8. Romans 5, 6 through 8. It says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the message summed up in the first 11 verses, chapters of the book of Romans. So when Paul starts this passage of scripture, he starts with the word therefore. In other words, considering everything that has been said before. So we have to look back. Now, I'm not going to ask you to look back at your past year, at the year 2015. You know, I'm asking you to look back at what God has done, what Jesus Christ has done for you. And again, Paul kind of encapsulates the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, when he says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. See, that's what Paul is calling us to look back at. In the book of Romans, in the first verse of chapter 12. He's calling us to look back, to look at God, at his mercies, at his grace. I'm glad the praise team sang that song just before. Grace, grace, God's grace. You know, what a wonderful song to sing about, and that's what Paul is talking about in Romans 1 through 11. God's grace. And we need to stop first and look back at what God has done. And the way that we're going to do that this morning is we are going to participate in communion. Now, not at the end of the service. We're going to do it now because we are going to stop. Because the word says, therefore. So we're going to look back intentionally at what God has done for us. And so the way we're going to do this morning is we're going to have you come forward. I want you to come down the center aisles and then partake of the bread and then the cup. There is a waste can on either side of the table, so you can just drop your cup in there. You'll do this right up at the table. And I'm going to pray for the bread and for the cup before we start that. For those of you who are in the balcony, you're going to remain seated when the bread comes to you, just go ahead and partake in it. And when the cup comes to you, just go ahead and partake in it, because there will not be this formal taking of it together thing. So you'll just do it. If you wouldn't want to say a quick prayer while you're up here, that is great. No one's going to push you out of the way to get to the table. But we're going to invite you to come. I'm not going to have you come up by rows. I want you to come up when you're ready to come up. But what this meal is doing is it is reminding us. This is the therefore of our message. This is the past of our message. That Jesus Christ gave his life for us, good people. No, for us sinners. So, hopefully we have two deacons that said that they are going to come forward and do that. So would my deacons please rise that are coming forward? I've got one, I need another. Gerald, okay. Okay, they're going to be serving, those of you who cannot come forward, and Dean, you're going to be serving in the balcony, so you folks don't need to come down the stairs. But for the rest of you, when you are ready, I want you to come up and partake of the bread and the cup. Do it at the same time. Again, if you want to say a prayer, that's fine. If you want to pause, do it however the Spirit is leading you to do that. But let's pray first. Father, we need to look back at you, at what you've done, at your mercy, at your grace. Father, we don't get what we deserve. We get what you have promised to us through Jesus Christ. Lord, as we partake of the bread, Lord, we give you thanks for that. As we partake of the cup, Lord, we give you thanks for that, because they represent Jesus Christ, his body and his blood that he gave to us so that we might live. Lord, as we partake in this service, may we truly be mindful of what you have done for us in the past. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we've looked back at the past. But this passage of Scripture deals with the present, with what it is that, as believers, we should be doing. And so let's look at our passage of Scripture again. Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of service. So as we deal with what is it that we are to do now, what is it, we've looked back and we've seen Jesus Christ, we've seen just a glimpse, folks. We've not really looked back to really. We got the main thing that he died for us while we were sinners. We were undeserving. And he gave us a blessing. So we have that, the mercies of God. But now that we have seen that, what do we do with it? Do we just, get up, go home? You know, that's kind of what we do on a typical Sunday. We come here and, we visit and we sing and we listen and we go home and our week starts the next day. But is that what we're supposed to be doing? Not according to Paul. Paul says that we are first of all to present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is our spiritual act of worship. We need to give ourselves to him. Present our bodies, saying, Lord, I am yours. I am yours. Take me. Do what you want to do with me. And Lord, I am no longer going to be involved in the things that are displeasing to you. I am going to turn it all over to you. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 13 and 14, he says, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as an instrument of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Folks, we can't take of what we've seen in the past and we participate in communion and then just go blindly away. We need to do something about it. We need to present our bodies to God. God gave Jesus Christ to us. We need to give ourselves back to God. We need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We are not supposed to go on presenting our members of our bodies as instruments of sin. Stop doing the things that are displeasing to God. You know, and when I think about this, what does it mean, my bodies? How do we give our bodies? How do we do that? Well, you know, and I was thinking, just reading through it, you know, the way we talk. Do people know from the way we talk who we worship? On a week. Now, you know, here, of course, we put on our spiritual language here. And we talk spiritually here. But as we leave this building in the light of Jesus Christ, how do we talk? How do we speak? What kind of language do we use? Do we encourage people or do we complain? Do we uplift people or do we drag them down? Do we show people that there is something different about who we are? We need to. We need to. Because we need to give ourselves to God. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." In your body. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to his name." So it's not just not doing the bad things. It's also doing the right things. Praise. Worship God. Give glory to God. Secondly, Paul says in this passage of Scripture that we are not to conform to this world. Romans 12:2, the first part there says, "And do not be conformed to this world." Now this is a tough one. This is one that the reason it's so tough is because the world is so subtle in the way that it gets a hold of us. Because the world offers so many things that are so attractive and so appealing to us. And the world offers things that, quite frankly, are not bad for us. Are not bad for us until we conform to the world's attitude about these things. Till we conform to the world's view about these things. We are not to be conformed to this world. Galatians 1:4 says, "He who gave himself for our sin so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of the Father, of our God and Father." It's interesting. In our Sunday school class, and I had never thought about it this way, Reggie McNeil was talking about the world is really the kingdom of darkness. It is in control of the kingdom of darkness, and we are the invading force. The church is. We are trying to break through the darkness for God, and trying to bring the kingdom to this world. And as we look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, we see that he rescued us from this present evil age so that we do not do its will anymore, or do not do what the world wants us to do, but we do the will of God the Father. 1 John 2:15, I believe Dean mentioned this last week. "But do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them." And then John goes on to mention that the world and the pleasures and the lusts and all those things of the world are passing away. They're going to end. You know, it's interesting. I watch people who put so much store in something that is in the world. It could be sports or a hobby. It can be even their work or their home or whatever. And they put so much time and effort in it, and they sacrifice so much for something, for whatever it is, and it's going to end. It's going to end. You know, I you know, forgive me for saying this, but I'm going to say it. I look as, you know, and I tell my wife, and I'll tell anyone, I am so thankful that my kids were not athletic, that they weren't coordinated, that they can't chew gum and walk at the same time. I am so thankful for that. Because they didn't have what this city absolutely loves and craves, and that's sports. And I see so many young people sacrificed on the altar of sports. For what? For what? Now, I am not against sports. I played sports when I was in high school. I didn't love them. I just played them. I wasn't good at it. That's where my kids get it. But folks, what are we doing? And that's just one example I'm throwing out there. So please don't get mad at me. If I could pick on all of you, I would. You know, okay, I'll pick on me. I give up a lot to go fishing. I really would. I do. I give up a lot to go fishing. I love to go pike minnow fishing. They taste terrible. That's why I like to go pike minnow fishing. I don't have to eat them. But I get paid for it. So what is it that I love? Well, I love fishing. The money is good too. You know? So, wait a second. Pastor Rich, are you saying that you're going to sacrifice for fishing and for money? Now, is it wrong for me to go pike minnow fishing and catch pike minnow because I love to do it and turn them into money? No, not wrong with that. But where is my affection? Does that drive me? You know, am I thinking on Saturday it's wow, Monday's my day off, and all I have to do is get through Sunday and I can go fishing again? Somehow that's not a good attitude to face a Sunday with. I look at it as it's in my way from what I want to accomplish. See, that's how the world can affect us. And it's not that so many of these things are bad. I'm not knocking high school sports. I'm not knocking fishing. I'm not knocking making money or nice homes. I'm not knocking any of that stuff. But when it controls us, then we are conforming to the world. Because the world tells us those things are important. Those things are important. And they do have some importance, but it's very limited in the view of eternity. It really is. James 1:27. James says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. That verse would have been a good one for Reggie McNeil to use. I'm just trying to make you guys think, what did this guy say? What did this guy say? So that you'll really want to listen to me. Okay, so we need to present our bodies. We are to not conform to the world. And we are to, the third thing in the present is we are to be transformed. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we are to be transformed. You know, we can't just live in a vacuum. You know, there are people who are saying, you know, well, I'm not going to do these bad things. I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do anything. No. We have to replace what we throw out with something that we bring in, or we will drift back to the things that we throw out. So we need to be transformed. We need to change. We need to morph into new people. People who are fully looking to God. Ephesians chapter 5:10 says, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do I make that my goal? Do I make that even something kind of important for me to be working on? Do I work on looking at what is pleasing to God? Do I do that? Oh yeah, I'm not doing the bad things so that anyone can notice. But am I doing the good things? Am I learning what God wants me to do? Ephesians 5:17 says, so then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God wants us to know His will. Not just to acknowledge that He has a will for us. But we are to know His will. Paul says this to the church in Colossae. In Colossians 1:9. He says, for this reason also, since the day we heard about it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That was Paul's prayer for the church in Colossae, that you would understand the will of God. How many of us are working on trying to understand the will of God? Now, I know you're kind of like, well, how? And preachers get nailed to the wall on this because we tell you all the grand things that you're supposed to be doing, but we don't tell you how to do it. But this is so simple, I don't think I even want to tell you. But you need to know. Okay, we need to be in God's Word. We need to be in God's Word. We need to be studying His Word. We need to be in a Sunday school class. Now, coming to church and listening to me, Steve, or Dean talk is wonderful. We appreciate it when you do that. But you know what? We can't do a whole lot of teaching in 20 to 45 minutes of a sermon. But you know, in Sunday school class, you can get a whole lot of teaching. In Bible study, you can get a lot of teaching, and you can even ask questions about what's going on, because a lot of times you need to put up your hand and say, I don't understand that. Now, if you all did that in a sermon, I wouldn't get very far. But in a Bible study, you can ask those questions. You know, have a time when you read your Bible every day. Do that. Prayer is another great way to be transformed. Prayer. We offer prayer groups here. One meets on the first Tuesday. Hardly adequate, but we do. And there's two prayer groups that meet on Wednesdays. But there's also a prayer group, and we've talked about it before, that meets at 9 o'clock here at the church. I think this church would grow immensely if we would fill every one of those prayer services with people praying that God's kingdom would be revealed in this time. And that we would be the agents of God's kingdom that we're bringing it here. We need to be transformed in our mind, in our way of thinking. Ephesians 4:23-24, Paul says, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. We need to put on the new self. Paul also writes to Titus, and he says in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, he says, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Pray, meditate, fellowship. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to you what God would want you to do. And this all leads us to the future. And yes, Paul does talk about the future in this passage of Scripture. When he says in Romans 12, verse 2, he says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." See, we need to look to the future, because when we do these things in the present, we will grow. We will grow. We will grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. You know, we have a bright future ahead of us. I know I do this just like everyone else does. I look at what's going on around me and I think, oh my kids. Oh my goodness, what is going to happen to my kids? What is going to happen to my grandkids? The world's becoming such an unstable place. What is going to happen to my kids? As if the world is in control of my kids. The world is not in control of my kids. If they know the Lord, God is in control of my children and my grandchildren. And they have the same future that I do. Even though I may die well before them, probably well before I see my grandkids, no, I'm not hinting at anything. But anyway, you know, I look at it and I am not going to, yes, they're going to see tough times, tougher than I had it. I really believe that. Young generation, understand this. I think we're going to face tough times, because even in our own nation, things are getting tougher and tougher and tougher for Christians. And you're going to be challenged in a way that I was never challenged when I was growing up, because you may actually be going against some of the laws of this land when you worship God in the future. But you know what? I'm not going to worry about that. I don't like it. I don't like that thought. But I'm not going to worry about it, because who is in the future? Who's there already? Who knows what my girls and my grandkids and great-grandkids, who knows? And who's going to be there for them? I'm not. You know, I can't hold their hands and I can't take care of them. And they probably wouldn't want that. But who's there? This is another time you guys can answer. God's there. God's already there. And the same avenue I have to God, they will have to God. The same power that is available to me is available to them. And I kind of think that there is going to be an awakening in this country that is going to turn this country on its ear. I'm not saying that the laws are going to change and we're going to become a Christian nation again. But I think the church is going to flourish. But I think we're going to see people who are in the church now who are not going to be there. And I think we're going to see people who are going to look at the church and say, "Wow, I didn't know that's what it was all about," and they're going to come in. I think that's what's going to happen. The future looks bright, because God's will is for everyone. God has a will for each and every one of us, and that doesn't end here. It goes until we are all with God in glory. You stop and think, what's going to happen in 2006? Well, you know, the Lord could come. The Lord could come. He really could. Things have really kind of lined up. The Lord could come. He could come any time. You know, am I saying he's coming in 2006? No. I'm not foolish enough to make a prophecy like that. Because I would be going against Scripture if I did. But you know, we need to live as if he is coming in 2006. Well, I hope he didn't come to us. That means we're all in trouble, folks. That would not be a healthy church. 2016. You know, So what do you anticipate? What is this church going to look like? What are we going to do 2016? I don't know. But all I know is I want to do the will of God. And I'm not going to know what the will of God is unless I live in the presence when presenting in the present, by presenting myself to God, by not conforming to the world and being transformed by the renewing of my mind through the reading of Scripture, through prayer, through the Holy Spirit. When I do those things, God's will be revealed to me, and my future will be bright spiritually. Will it be bright physically? I don't know. May not. But when your future holds God in it, you know, I mean, what's the ultimate future? To be with Him in glory? Wow. Wow. That is a neat thought to have. So as we begin a new year, I want to encourage you to take some steps. Take some steps. And I'm not going to ask you to make a resolution. It's too late for that. I don't believe in resolutions anyway. I want you to actually take some steps. Actually do something. Not think about it. Do it. Do it. But remember what God has done for you. And remember what He is calling you to do now. And when you do that, in the future, you will know what God desires for you to do. It's a bright future when you look at it that way. It really is. And I want you to remember that God is already in 2016. He's already in 2026. He's already in 2036. He's already in the year 2001. I don't know. He's in the distant future. He's there. He's there. He's always there. He's never going to change. Let's pray. Father, as we look at a new year, Father, we oftentimes dream and we have big thoughts and doing things right, and boy, we're going to really make a dent in this world, but Lord, help us to do it. To do it. Lord, in light of what You have done for us, help us to live today the way that You desire us to live, that we may know Your will for our lives tomorrow, and know what it is that You desire for us to do, that we might truly be a praise and a blessing to You in the year and years to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.